on CFAX 1070.
Talking about jury duty in Canada. And again, this conversation driven by the rather high-profile murder case in Montreal, the Luca Magnotta case, where they're today into the second day of jury selection. Veteran local criminal lawyer Michael Mulligan in studio with us. There are some people who are not eligible to sit on jury.
That's true.
Are you, for instance,
I'm
a
out.
Lawyer? So you cannot... Because it's perceived that that you might go into court thinking you know more than the judge does? Or
I think that's exactly the worry. I think the worry is if you had a lawyer on the jury, whether they know about the area of law or not, they might wind up in the back room trying to persuade people that the law is this or that when you want jurors listening to what the judge has told them to do, right? Yeah. One of the common instructions judges give is this. They say, look, you're the judge of the facts. I'm the judge of the law. Take the law as I'm expressing it to you, yeah. Because if I'm wrong when I tell you what the law is, the Court of Appeal can sort out that problem. If you go back there and do something other than what I'm telling you, well, nobody's ever going to know that. So please do what I'm asking you.
What other professions cannot serve? I mean, would I, as a reporter, be disqualified?
I don't see why you would be. There's a interesting, just saying on the break, there's a different schools of thought about sort of who makes a good juror. And of course, as counsel, we only have limited information. We can kind of look at the person, get some sense of how old they might be. We know their address or where they live. You might infer something about socioeconomic position based on what your address might be. We know the person's job, so you might draw some inferences from that. But it's pretty limited, right? You're trying to form some judgment about whether the person would be fair or suitable on the case based on those limited bits of information. One of the sort of pieces of folk wisdom around the bar is sort of discussions about whether teachers make good jurors. Some lawyers are of the view that teachers tend to extend the period of time that juries take to make a decision because they like to talk about things. From my perspective, I think they're good. Because they're used to dealing with abstract things like presumption of innocence or proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Sure. So there's half of the stuff turns into folk wisdom about who might do a good job.
From the from the perspective of the prospective juror, if you will, and I think there's a popular perception that that this is, shall we say, not desirable. People don't like to get the summons in the mail saying show up at court on such and such a date because you're... If I get that in the mail,
yes,
am I told what trial I'm being considered for? Like, do I know when I go to court that, you know, if I get selected, this is going to be, like in the Magnotta case, an 8-week murder trial? Or it might be a couple of days and it might not be too onerous, right?
A juror would be given some information by the judge at jury selection or by the sheriffs in advance about things like the expected length of the trial. I should say this. I certainly understand people think, oh my gosh, you're pulling me out of my life to go and do this. Most people that I speak to that have been on juries find it to be a positive experience when they're done. It's one of those civic duties like voting. People should, it's one of the responsibilities of being a citizen in a country like Canada is that if you're called upon to do that, you serve if possible. And one of the worries of people trying to avoid service on a jury is you wind up or can wind up with juries that are skewed, right? I mean, certainly if somebody's retired, they might say, well, sure, I'm happy to do that. I don't have to go to work.
I've
got the time. But we don't want juries which are just 12 retired people. We're looking for a cross-section of the population. You want young and old people with different life experience. So I would encourage people, if you get one, don't think it's going to be a completely negative experience. Most people that I speak to that have done it find it to be pretty positive.
So what does the court do to compensate me for... potentially 8 or more weeks out of my life? I mean, who's making my rent payment?
Excellent question. For some people, if you're in a unionized environment, you may have a clause in your contract that you get paid if you're summoned to jury duty. But for others, that's not there. there was a change made a few years ago in BC dealing with longer trials. I think it might have been prompted by Air Indy or Picton or one of those mega trials.
Yeah.
Which the way it works now is that jurors receive a small stipend each day they're serving. And for the first week or two, it's pretty modest. It's sort of enough to pay for lunch and parking, you know, this sort of thing. But the provision now is that if you wind up on a jury that goes longer than the ordinary, you know, week or whatever it might be, a person would get an increased amount. And it's not a princely sum, but I think it might be $100 or something a day, the idea being that a person might get enough money to pay their rent. Mm. So certainly for some people it's a sacrifice, but we're lucky to live in a country where we have this system, and it only functions if people are prepared to do their duty and show up and serve if they get called.
Yeah. We were talking, I'm sorry, we're right up against the clock here, but I don't want to let this go by without mention, about another very high-profile case. Now, it is in another country, but it's another Commonwealth country where I presume the jurisprudence is very similar to ours. The Pistorius murder charge in South Africa, where I wasn't aware until you just mentioned it before we went on the air that there's no jury in that case.
That's true. They eliminated juries in South Africa. My understanding is that was occurred as part of the apartheid, during the apartheid regime.
But that's a pretty huge difference in jurisprudence between the British tradition and what they're doing.
That is a very substantial difference. And again, we're so lucky to have a system where jury trials are available. It injects community values into the justice system. One of the other real advantages, apart from the sort of benefit to having that community involvement in a particular case, is that having community members serve on juries, in my experience, helps respond to some of the criticisms that the justice system gets about being unreasonable or this sort of thing. It is interesting to speak to somebody once they've served on a jury, and they get a real picture of what it's like to have to try somebody and listen to actual witnesses that often aren't that clear or good. And having had that experience of struggling with difficult cases and hard decisions, I think is useful, so that people have that experience, and when they go back into the community having served, they have just a different perspective on the functioning of the justice system.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah. I appreciate your taking the time to join us on it this morning, sir, and look forward to our next opportunity to chat.
Thank you for having me.
Always enlightening.